Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts
are back on the edge right here at the tippity top at the point right there. Okay. That's our geometry lesson.
Fantastic.
With teacher and super duper mom, Julie Eason. We're going to talk about homeschooling. Okay. The pros, the cons, because it's not for everybody. Okay. Yeah. And some parents just are not going to be able to adapt. Some children don't want to be with their parents 24/7. What are some of the learning challenges? How do these kids advance from one grade to the next? Like she said, it depends on the school if they're going to have to test back in. What about socialization? That's really important. You know, if you don't go to high school, you're never the cheerleader. You're never on the football team. You're never on the basketball team in that particular setting. And what does it do for the parent? It's a lot of responsibility. I know my little neighbor down the street came down here. Girl, I couldn't do the math to save my life. And I know what 1 + 1 is, but I couldn't get it configured. So let's welcome her to the edge, Julie Ian Eason. I got your name wrong. But I got your name wrong, but I got your heart right.
Absolutely. Hi, April. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I'm so excited to have you. And you are in the middle of a big old move.
Yes, that's right. We're moving house and it's just chaos. It's chaos. But we're into our new place, thank goodness. So now it's unpacking and settling and all good things from here.
Oh, okay. Now, where are you at? Where'd you move from to?
So we are in Wales in the UK. We moved from the east coast of Wales in a city called Newport near Bristol and Cardiff, which is the capital. Mm-hmm. All the way across to West Wales, literally on the coast. We can see the sea from our bedroom window. We are a 5-minute walk from the beach.
Wow.
It's freezing.
Is it cold?
It's cold. It's windy. There was a storm last night. Winds of 65 miles per hour. So quite a welcome.
Well, it is. Now, how many children do you have, Julie?
I have two. I have a son and a daughter.
So and their ages?
One of each. My son is 10 and my daughter just turned 8.
Okay, 8 and 10. All right, so they're at very tender ages. Have they always been homeschooled?
My son was at school for about 14 months. So for his initial reception, kindergarten, and part of year one. My daughter has never been to school, but she went to preschool for a few months.
Okay, so let's dial back. Did you go to traditional school?
Oh, yes. I had a very traditional upbringing. My parents were very conservative and they had it all planned out. I went to a good primary school, sort of lower levels. I went to a very good private high school. And then I was steered towards university and to a professional career. I actually studied law and economics, practiced as a solicitor, went into banking. I think they had it all mapped out for me. I was going to live in Sydney, have a house in a certain area, marry the right person, have children, and they would follow suit, and that was going to be life. Very traditional.
And you just threw a monkey wrench in the whole thing. You said, oh, wait a minute. Let me tell you whose life this really is. Now, did your husband have a traditional upbringing in education?
Yes, he did too. He did too, very much so. We're both very similar backgrounds and upbringings. I was born and brought up in Australia. He was brought up in the UK, but still similar traditional outlook from our parents.
Mm-hmm. And I say this with love and respect, but just, you know, you seem a little highbrow and that's okay. No, I mean, you know, as far as I gauge that you kind of went to private school, it just seemed like you would, you know, that you would have that traditional upbringing, and that can be tough. It's private school, there's a certain expectation there. There's a certain lexicon. You know, you got to talk a certain way, walk a certain way, wear the uniform. It's very conforming. But let me tell you, it was like the Catholic schoolgirls where I grew up. Once they hit that corner, honey, those bobby socks was rolled down. That skirt was pulled up. The little sweater got tighter. It was a whole different thing. One, two, three. So, Julie, I want to ask you. Now, you said that your son is on the spectrum and he has ADHD, so it makes him, you know, a little fidgety and hyperactive and, you know, in crowds. He doesn't adjust very well. Was he on medication?
He was for a little while. So while he was at school, they put him on medication. And the reason they did that, they told us at the time, was because he was at school. It was to help him and the teachers in that environment. And at home, it was difficult. But as a mum, I was like, well, home is a safe environment. I'd rather that he struggled in the home environment where I can support him and give him that safe place than at school. But we didn't keep him on the medication for a long time because we didn't think it was overall in his best interests. And when we took him off the medication, a lot of people commented that it was like a veil had lifted. He was so much clearer without it. You know, he had a bit of a fog. And a friend of mine was the lunch lady actually at school where he was, and she used to look out for him because especially at lunchtime, he really struggled with the foods, with the textures, with the tastes. If one food touched another on the plate, he wouldn't eat it. And not a lot of people
But also what they serve, because again, that has a huge contributing factor to their behavior and how they respond is food.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're very close friends. And she said to me, the difference between your son back then when he was in that school environment to now, and even a few years ago along this homeschooling journey, night and day, totally different child. And I see it myself. But to have someone else say
that,
you know, it's that extra, it's such a good feeling because, you know, we talked about homeschooling is hard. You know, being a parent is hard, but, you know, we're responsible for their education as well. And it is one of the most difficult things I've ever done. But I tell you what, it's one of the most rewarding things too. And that
I know you're going to look back on this and you're going to pat yourself on the back. But talking about patting yourself on the back, I bet you there was family members that wanted to kick you in the butt. Like, well, what in the world are you doing? You know, who do you think you are? Why do you think that you can educate someone from, you know, the beginning? It's not like I didn't give birth to this individual. It's not like I don't know who they are. I know what they need. What was the response of family and friends?
Well, my mom used to be a primary school teacher. So to say she was shocked is putting it mildly. And I think the best way for me to put it is to say that I didn't tell her before we made the decision, I told her afterwards. And the same for my husband. We're naturally very independent people. And that's a little bit as a result of our upbringing. But she initially thought I was mad. And, you know, I'd involved her in some of the issues we were having with the schools because of her background.
Right.
And she'd always come at it from the point of view, well, this is what the teachers will think. This is how the school would react. And I had to actually say to her, look, Mum, I'm asking you for your support because I'm your daughter and he's your grandmother. And you need to start thinking as my mum and as his grandmother, not as a teacher, because I don't need that. I've got enough teachers and school and head teachers breathing down my neck. You know, give me your support from a family. And, you know, it took her a while, but she came round and was really supportive, helped me, put me in touch with other teacher friends of hers who specialise with children on the spectrum with ADHD, and I got some fantastic support. My father was very much, well, you're going to have to put your kids into school sometimes. They need to learn the necessary skills of bullying and how to stand up for themselves. And I had to say, you know what? Why should we put our kids in that position? And by the way, that's actually part of the reason we took our child out of that environment. He knows how to stand up for himself. He knows what bullying is. He knows what behavior is right and wrong. you know, he doesn't need to be put back in that environment
right.
as part of his growing up. You know, he so I think for my father, it's just that a bit too, it's too much, it's too outside of the box.
Yeah, know? It's too progressive. Like you said, they're conservative. And so, you know, a conservative British family, you know, there's certain protocols that they would find. They're not, they're not so much risk takers and whimsical. And they're, because the world is changing. I tell my brains all the time, this is not the world that it was once upon a time. It's ever evolving, and we have to be progressive. This, we're going to look back on this pandemic 10 years from now, and something else is going to spring up, you know? And so again, it's where kids are going to be teaching themselves. Artificial intelligence, they're going to be in space. There, it's going to be a whole lot of other stuff going on. But that outside noise, brains, don't let that echo in your ear. You know what your kid needs. And it's trial and error. It's trial and error, just like food. There might be something you put on their plate they don't like. Don't make them eat it. There might be something that they love. You know, let them eat it. It is, life is a smorgasbord. Everything is not going to be the same on everybody's plate, but we are all going to be able to indulge.
Absolutely.
You're the best.
You're awesome. Thanks, April.
So
absolutely.
School is not what you think it is. And school is not just the education of text and mathematics and language. It's also a life skill. So dial back. Why in the world did you say, you and your husband decide, you know what? Forget this noise. We're going to do it our way.
So there are a couple of reasons. I had had a very successful career in law and finance. We had, I'd lived and worked in Sydney, in London. At the time, we were in Hong Kong. And we decided to leave Hong Kong, and I wanted to leave the corporate world, take a career break, and actually spend time with my family. My children were young. My son was about to start school. So we moved back to the UK. I took some time out to get him into school. And at first, we had it all mapped out. You know, really good school. It would pave the way for our daughter. They'd go to the same school. We'd be in a nice area. And to be honest, it just went completely pear-shaped. Everything fell apart. Our son really struggled with the school environment. We went through two schools in the 14 months, his initial foray into formal education. He was only 5, 6 at the time. And the reason we had so many difficulties is because he has learning difficulties, special educational needs, whatever term you want to use to to include. So he has ADHD, which is very pronounced in the school environment, in a big classroom in particular. And he also has symptoms of Asperger's. So he's on the spectrum. And we just couldn't get the support he needed. The first school we agreed to leave because they couldn't and wouldn't support him. The second school, the second school was worse. We battled, and the lawyer in me came out, and I fought tooth and nail. And what happened to him was awful. Bullying from the head teacher, bullying from the students, bullying from the teachers. They wouldn't support his needs. They were using his funding with his needs for the rest of the school rather than the one-on-one support for him. And to be honest, April, for us as parents, that was the last straw. We'd had it by then. And, you know, it just took so much out of us as a family. I was at home, but I was stressed. He was, our son was anxious at the age of 6. I mean, when is that okay? It's just, it's not, right? A 6-year-old should not have anxiety. My husband was working away, so he was gone most of the week and then back for the end of the week and weekends, and he was just beyond it as well. And we just thought, you know what, we all need a break from this. It's obviously not the right learning environment for our son. We pulled him out of school and went through yet another battle with the local council, with the school, about pulling him out. And we just thought, let's take a break, let's reset and work out what works for him. And we haven't looked back. I mean, that was the beginning of 2017. And here we are, however many years later, still going.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been talking to a lot of professionals, educators, everything from dyslexia to, you know, identity to mathematics, foreign language. And to learn is a gift.
Yes.
You know, it's not an obligation.
No.
It's the responsibility of a parent to make sure. I had one lady, I canceled her interview because I wasn't with her, but she's totally into the unschooling.
Yes.
And I get that to a degree, but unschooling is not unruly.
No,
your kids still need to understand the basic functions, because one day April and Jill and Julie are not going to be there.
That's right.
Okay. And so how are they going to survive? How are they going to make a living? How are they going to pay their bills? How are they going to, kids now don't even learn cursive writing. How are they going to learn to write their name, spell? How are they going to be able to migrate into society? So you step back and you say, okay, well, I'm this big brain. I'm this smart woman. I know I could do this. I went to law school and finance, had this big high profile job. But when you had to sit down and try to teach your son the basic fundamentals, where was your head at?
To be honest, I kind of flowed into it. You know, like every parent, our kids don't come with manuals. So we are forced to adjust, work out what's best for our kids, ask for help when we need it, and work it out for ourselves. And a lot of the skills that I developed over the years during my corporate career really came in handy, you know, negotiating, standing up for my son, teaching. I used to teach and educate, mentor, manage a lot of people. That was a huge part of my job in corporate. So I used those skills with my son. And initially, when we were talking about homeschooling as an option, I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to teach my son? And then I thought, hang on a second, I'm the one that's taught him to read and write. Not school. I spent hours with my son every single night working on his handwriting, working on his reading, going through his phonics, you know. And I thought, if I can teach him to read and write, then the rest will work out as we go. And, you know, he writes in cursive. He's left-handed. One of the symptoms that he has with the Asperger's and the ADHD is issues with his fine motor skills. So writing is not easy for him. So we really worked on it, you know. And I'm also the kind of person that if I don't know everything, and I admit I don't, thankfully my husband can't hear me.
You don't know everything? Oh my God.
My husband can't hear this. But, you know, I will go and get help. And before we actually made the decision to homeschool, I sat down and researched it. What was it? What did it mean? What were my legal obligations? What were my obligations to a child? Do I have to follow a curriculum? How do I plan lessons? And I ended up retraining as a teacher. So I teach as well, as you mentioned at the beginning, and that helped. But to begin with, it was very much a journey of discovery with him. And I had a lot of experts that I'd worked with, you know, educational psychologists, child psychiatrists, and they initially thought I was a little bit mad homeschooling because they thought it would be too much for me, that he may not meet his potential and things like that. And I thought, that's your opinion. I asked you for it. I'm going to listen. But I'm also going to look at what you've given me in terms of support and your reports over the years.
All right now, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Let's use this information for his good, because, you know, I'm not the kind of person that says homeschool is the only answer. It's not. What we have to do as parents is give our children the right learning environment. That's what it's about. Whether that's school, whether that's at home, forest school, outdoor school, whatever it is. And I sat down and I read the reports and I talked to these consultants and understood how my son learns best, what the issues are when it comes to learning for him, and practical solutions so that I could implement that every day. And that's not just from an educational perspective. That's for his life as well.
That's right. That's right. That is right. That is his life toolbox.
Absolutely.
So now, without going into a lot of detail as specifically, because the autistic spectrum is very broad. And ADHD is very broad. Everybody's a little bit different. So when you came across those challenges and you got frustrated, what did you do for yourself?
I'm getting better as time goes on, taking myself away and giving myself a bit of time out.
And I give you point. I got to give you points right there because you said, I'm getting better. You hear that, brain? She's in the process. Yes. There's ebbs and flows. This is not just a straight line.
No, it's not. You know, it's a journey, right? I'm not at the destination, you know, not until we're through this with my son and his education. And I do give myself time off. My husband and I have worked really hard on that with our partnership and our relationship to balance that. And I also forgive myself for not being perfect because I'm not. And I get it wrong sometimes. And, you know, I'm really experienced. I'm really knowledgeable. But, you know, some days just aren't going to work. Other days are going to be fantastic. And, you know, when I'm really stuck, I go back to the consultants. I go back to my support network. I go back to my other mums who I know, my other homeschooling friends, my friends. You know, my mum used to be a teacher. She put me in touch with some fantastic other teachers who are special needs. I go back to my teacher training. I talk to my friends who are teachers. You know, our older generation family who were teachers or just their experience. You know, how do I handle this? How do I do that? What ideas have you got? You know, it's really about community and, as I said, giving him the right learning environment to thrive. That's really my goal.
Now, does he have a clear understanding is that, you know, okay, this is specialized, you know, this is just for me because I'm special, I'm perfect, I'm wonderful. And my mother, well, yeah, you may not know everything, Mom, but I know everything. But my mother has, you know, done this for me. He understands that this is a special learning environment for him that's created based on his needs versus what, quote unquote, a traditional educational institution is like.
Absolutely. We talk about that. And, you know, even at the point when we decided to homeschool, I sat down with him and we talked about it. And I said, even things like, look, this isn't about you being at home and mummy giving you all of her time. You know, I have to give up some of the stuff that I do around the house. So you're going to have to be part of that. So you're going to have to help around the house. You're going to have to help mummy with certain things. And I turn those chores, for want of a better word, into life skills and lessons. You know, we go shopping. Can he do a shopping list? Can he work a budget? Talk about money in the house. I want him to be independent. Can he put on the washing, put out the washing, help manage his younger sister, help teach his younger sister, empty the dishwasher, take responsibility for different things? Because to me, education is not just academics and books. It is life skills as well. And one of the key reasons my husband and I homeschool both children is because we want them to have a well-rounded and holistic education and schooling.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, that's during the pandemic, I was taking my outdoor walks and I was walking down the street. This young white girl and her little boy was out there and she was going at it. She was all in his face and she was screaming at him and all that. And I'm saying, you know, it's none of my business. I said, but it looks like you're a little upset here. You want to dial back? I can't take it anymore. His father won't do this. Blah, blah. Oh, she was just letting me have it. I said, okay, I'll tell you what. I live down the street. I'm real cool people. You can ask anybody. Everybody knows me. I said, why don't you send him down to my house on Tuesdays and Thursdays? Her eyes got real big. I said, give you a break.
Yeah.
I haven't had a little kid around here and I don't know when. Julie, he came down here. And I'm in love. He came down here, honey, and my husband taught him how to use power tools, how to use a measuring devices. I taught him how to work in the garden. We used to catch bugs. We would watch the Spanish channel for an hour a day, learn a foreign language. I'm in love with him. And you know what he said to me that really touched my heart? He says, you know what? Now I know that all Black people aren't bad.
Wow.
So it was a cultural lesson as well.
Yeah.
because somebody had planted an ugly seed in him.
Absolutely.
Okay. But now, when he had to go back to school, he had a fit. No more Tuesday, Thursday with Mr. and Mrs. Mahoney. No more, no more. And I was like, yeah, we got Saturdays and some Sundays. But it is a friend for life. And it taught me so much. You know, we went in there. He had never cooked. You know, I cooked him collard greens and smothered pork chops. I think the boy put on 5 or 10 pounds. But he learned how to measure. He, like you said, he learned the life skills.
Yes.
Went on another vacation, went to Yosemite. The kids were homeschooled. They were there with the Native Americans. They actually got to weave the baskets. They understood the culture. They looked at the land. They looked at the landmass and the water. It is amazing. Homeschool, I think if I had a child, I would homeschool them. But I don't understand how it's set up as far as curriculum. Okay, so you get to a certain point, and let's just kind of extract the fact that your son has ADHD. Just for a parent that doesn't have a special needs child, you know, they were in for a rude awakening during COVID. They got ugly. They didn't even know who that little person was that lived in the house with them. They didn't understand how to set it up. And it was kind of done, you know, haphazard because it was rushed. It wasn't planned. How does a person start to plan this out and say, okay, I wanted my child to be homeschooled from this point on? Where do they begin, Julie?
That's a brilliant question. And the pandemic last year was not homeschooling. I refer to that as school at home because everyone was forced into that very stressful situation.
Right.
So in terms of actually considering homeschooling, the first thing to do is work out the requirements for your location. So good old Google, right? Where would we be without it? Just Google homeschooling for and your location. In the US, it's based on where you're located. State by state, it differs in terms of levels of regulation, whether it's really strict, not so strict, or quite laid back. In the UK, it's completely different. We have one law around home education, which it's called here, and we don't need to follow a curriculum. We don't need to register, we don't need to fill in forms, etc., etc. But then each local council has their own interpretation of the laws. So it comes down to again your location. So the first thing to do.
But let me ask a question. You said that there's no certain requirements, there's no curriculum. So there's really kind of no checks and balances.
So if you deregister your child, then your child is on the education register. So the local authority, the local council, county, is aware of your child. So they will contact you and you have to manage that relationship with them because they will ask you for records, they'll ask you and make sure that the educational provision that you're providing is adequate for your child based on their current levels, their needs, their age, etc.
Okay. Now, here in the United States, it's all about the dollars and cents. You know, it's by headcount. So many kids, you know, because attendance was paramount. You know, you had to account for your child. And if your child was truant, they would come to your house. I never thought that was so much caring for your child as for caring for the dollars. Do they pour funding into public schools based upon headcount there in the UK?
I think they do. There's a lot of nervousness about the amount of people who are now starting to homeschool since the pandemic, for sure. Yeah.
And I think that you should be subsidized on your taxes or something because of that.
That would be nice, but I doubt that that's going to happen.
Well, you told me that they took the funding that was allocated for your son and disseminated it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We really fought with them. And that was the last straw. We were going for a formal education healthcare plan. And in the end, we decided not to because it was going to mean 6 months of our son at school in an environment where he suffered. He didn't thrive. And the school was not really supportive because if he had that plan in place, it would be legally binding on the school. So they would have to use that funding for that child rather than what they were doing when it was a less formal arrangement and they didn't have as many checks and balances until we started to complain and question what they were doing. So it swings and roundabouts.
And, you know, each child learns differently.
Yes.
You know I had a learning challenge. I was dyslexic. Not severely, but it was severe enough to impact certain aspects of my learning.
Of course.
My daughter, same thing. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to label her. They wanted to medicate her, all that. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not seeing this at home. And I asked her what was going on, and she gave me a child's definition of what was going on. She was having vision problems. She couldn't see very well. And she said, I would skip ahead because the other children would laugh because I didn't read as fast as they did, or I couldn't sound out the words. And so we figured that out. I put her in a special learning center for 6 months, and it changed her life. And now she is an avid reader. She is a creative, and she absolutely loves learning. Every child is different. So you can figure out where your son's strong suits are, because even yes. though he has challenges in certain things, you know, that's like Asperger's, brilliant in mathematics, music, science, you know, it's where their niche is. And that's where they're going to find their comfort zone and where you can focus that attention. Absolutely. And you're able to give him more specialized attention than that, because that's what he enjoys. But what happens to the stuff that he doesn't like?
I'm creative in the way I approach certain subjects. So handwriting is obviously not something he enjoys. So I try and work around that by asking him to write a shopping list or to write a Christmas card, write a note to his friends. So he's physically writing, and he's also using his English skills to compose, put an essay together, write a report, whatever. I also get him on the keyboard and get him to do his English that way sometimes as well, to balance between the writing and the typing, to give him a bit of a break. In terms of subjects like maths, which he generally enjoys, I went and found, because his passion is paleontology. He wants to be a paleontologist. He's been obsessed with dinosaurs since before he was two. I know this because for his second birthday, I made a dinosaur cake, and he wouldn't have anything else. So that's his thing. And he tells me he wants to go to the University of Alberta. He wants to do a degree in zoology. He then wants to do his master's or PhD in paleontology. And I'm like, you're 10, dude. You know? Let's not rush, but let's also focus then on these areas, because this is where, you know, your focus wants to be, your interest is. And, you know, that's how we work. We focus on the natural history. We focus on science. With maths, I went and found a book, or many books actually, that were, you know, let's pretend to be a zoologist for the day. And then it sets out practical mathematical problems that, you know, takes him on a story of, you're a zoologist, you dug up, or you have to feed this many animals, this is what they eat. So, of course, there's multiplication, addition, etc. You know, measurements, weighing, tables, graphs, all of that kind of thing. So I work around it in different ways. You know, we in our house, we talk about his ADHD and the Asperger's being his superpower. Because when you say ADHD, people focus on the hyperactivity and the attention deficit. And what some people don't know is that actually with ADHD, there's a really amazing flip side, which is his super focus. So if he's interested in something, you cannot dissuade him. He will focus and boom. You know, I've come in and said to him, you know, I've called him, hasn't heard me because he's so zoned in on what he is doing. So if I find the right topics, find the right way of him learning and, you know, teaching him, he's there and he loves it. He is naturally curious, like all kids. They all have a thirst for knowledge. It's really about tapping it and finding the way that works for them to learn best.
So, now, let me ask you a question with regards to your daughter.
Sure.
And I'm not being snarky. I just want to have an idea. Does she feel a certain kind of way? Is she ever in her feelings because her brother gets more attention than she does in certain areas?
No, not at all. I mean, I balance between the two. And it's really nice that in some ways it's challenging, right? Let's be honest, that they're different ages, they're at different levels. So I'm teaching at two different developmental stages and educational levels. However, what's amazing is to watch them teach each other. So my son helps her with maths, with English, with counting, all that kind of thing. And my daughter helps my son with his social skills. So when they play, when they role play, she helps model the kind of behavior that you do in, you know, social settings. So it's amazing how they help each other. And she gets just as much as attention, just as much support. I sit and work with her. I mean, she has her strengths, but she also has her development areas. And she's a very different person to my son. She loves dinosaurs. She loves natural history. But she's very, very creative. She just wants to do art and craft. That is her groove, you know?
Right.
So we work with that.
Well, that is amazing. And it makes you super smart, too, because now you've got to know everything about dinosaurs because they're looking to you for the answers. And I'm glad that you have a balance and that your husband is so supportive, too, that he recognizes the importance to that because, you know, we can't do everything, even though we think that we can. We can't. So now, again, socialization.
Yes.
Your children don't go to traditional schools. Okay. And so... there's a lot of social skills that you learn. Number one, how to defend yourself. Number two, bullying. Number three, you have the, you know, the social media that's in everyone's things, learning about their sexuality, making friends, you know, good, bad, or indifferent, playing sports. How do you fill in those gaps?
So I always get asked this question, and I kind of love it because I get to push back a little bit on some of the assumptions, I think, that go with socialization for children and also within the school environment. So what I love about homeschooling is that socialization for my children is with so many different people. It's not just children in their own age group for a start. That in itself is brilliant. They have friends who are older and younger. They are also really good with socializing with adults. So they're not shy with adults. They're quite comfortable, quite confident holding a conversation. They easily make friends. When we travel, you know, we get out there, we go and do different things. If we're at activities, they'll go and make friends naturally with complete strangers who, and I mean that in a positive way, children who are obviously strangers to them, but they go and make friends that way. Our neighbours, we always have play dates with. Some of our neighbors are at school, so their kids are at school and they talk to our kids about all of that, and they still have play dates. There's also a massive homeschooling network, massive. And there's organized activities, there's clubs, there's lessons, there's online classes. So there's a plethora of opportunities for children to socialize even though they're not in the school environment.
That's perfect to hear, because again, people assume, you know,
they assume that, you know,
and I get what you're saying about, you know, because when our little neighbor came down here, he was just as happy, and he can sit there and he talked to Mr. Magnificent about the Navy, and Mr. Magnificent took him and showed him a naval ship, and oh my God, his eyes got this big, and so now he's going to be a naval captain, and you know, just all of these different things that they're able to explore, because now there's no field trips in our schools here in America. We used to go to the museum, and we go to the plays, and we go to the, you know, the parks, and all these types of things. There is a little to no foreign language unless you're putting your child in a private school. They're not learning a foreign language, and that is critical, brains. They need to speak more than English. Every other country in the world is bilingual, except for us. They don't understand world currency and finance, you know, so they have an opportunity to do that. And like you said, being able to talk to an adult, you know, not being afraid of an adult. There's a lot of things that adults try to get away with, but if you have a child that's mature enough to hold a conversation, they won't pull that stuff on them.
No, they won't. They absolutely won't pull that stuff on them. It makes stranger danger much easier in terms of that life lesson too.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely.
in some ways, yeah, for sure.
So, what would you tell a parent right now that is got a child that is, going through whatever, learning challenges, socialization, bullying, or you know what, even the child that wants to drop out? Because I'm gonna tell you, I know a lot of kids that just say, you know what, forget this noise. I'm not going. I'm not learning. Number one, there's probably been a challenge and they're behind. They don't know how to catch up. What do you say to that parent?
I would say take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Look, like you said, at what's going on for your child and start talking to them. Start really communicating and trying to understand what's going on with them. And start thinking about what you want for your child in terms of education. Is what you're currently doing in terms of your child going to school or that particular school working? If it's not working, how can that change? If you're considering homeschooling, think about the type of homeschooling environment that you want to create for your child. And if you are thinking of going down that path, like I said, have a look at the local requirements so you know what the expectations are, but also start trying it. Organize some things on the weekend. And by that, I don't mean go hell for leather and let's go and do three or four field trips in one day and just, wire
Right,
everyone
right.
up, right? But let's think about an activity that we can do that has an educational element and just plan it a little bit beforehand. What are you going to do? What are they going to learn? Go through the activity. Afterwards, take a step back and reflect. How did it go? What would I do differently next time? And what have the children learnt? And how was it? Did we enjoy it? And just try it out. Because it's by making little changes step by step that you can work out what works best for your family. And when it comes to homeschooling, if you are on the fence, then there's no reason you can't try it yourself. I mean, I look back now at my journey at the very, very beginning. We used to do it all the time without me realizing. My son would come home with homework about, oh, can you add some photos and tell a bit of a story? So I'd say, right, why don't we go and do something interesting this weekend? Let's go to Stonehenge. Let's take a few photos. Let's learn about Stonehenge. And then let's write it up in your homework book as, a way of expressing and communicating and telling a story about what you did on the weekend. So without realizing, I was already practicing. And, I had that
Wow.
confidence because I'd already taught him to read and write when I realized that I'd done it. And it's just those step by step, not to be overwhelmed. You take it a day at a time,
Well, I think that you are doing a beautiful job. And
Thank
I'm
you.
so proud of you. I am
Thank
so
you.
proud of you. I applaud the teacher.
Thank
I
you.
wish I had an apple to give you.
Fantastic.
But
Well, you do.
it is fantastic. And my parents did a lot of that, going to the museum, and I used to love going to the barbershop, watching my father get a shave and smelled so good, and he'd hold my hand and we'd go to the museum and we'd walk and we'd talk about things, just whimsical things, that nonsense kind of talk. It's so important because your kids want to be heard.
They do.
And you've turned up the volume. Not only have you fought for them, but you're listening to them. And that is going to be a feather in his cap. One day, he may find the cure or for ADHD. It might be something in the DNA of a dinosaur.
Exactly. Who knows, right?
Who knows? It had to start somewhere.
That's right.
And your daughter is brilliant because she doesn't know any other way but this. But say, for example, that she says, "Well, you know what, Mom, I want to try something different. I'm changing, I'm maturing. I want to go to high school or middle school." I had asked you before, and I know that it's based upon your area, whatever, but do they have to test back in at a certain grade level to, because I found that kids that have been homeschooled, they test back in at two or three grade levels above.
Above. That's right. They
Above,
usually
because they've
do.
had that
Yes.
individual personalized attention.
Yes. And a lot of children don't go in at that year level. They go in above. and they balance it between where they are academically with their maturity and developmental stage. It does depend on the school, where you're looking, and what the requirements are around age, etc. They would have to do some testing, I think, to go back in. As a parent, I would want my child to have a little bit of testing or some sort of assessment because I wouldn't want it just assumed that she goes in at her year age. I'd like to see where she lies because I'm still going to be supporting her whether she's at school or at home.
That's what I was going to ask you. Are you so hell-bent on what you're doing that you would say, no, I don't want you to go back, but you would allow her that opportunity if that's something that she wanted to try? You'd be open
It's a
to it?
really, really good question, April. And while the logic part of me goes, yes, of course we'd have those conversations, my heart just goes, oh. But honestly, speaking frankly, my daughter and I have those conversations regularly. I have them with my son. I'm like, are you happy being at home? Happy being homeschooled? What are we going to do this year? Do you want to go to school? Do you want to get on the school bus with your friends because we've waved them in off in the morning while they've gone to school and we've gone off and done stuff? Yeah, pretty much. And that's what they said. They're like, nah, we're not down with that at all. They have no interest whatsoever. We have very honest, candid conversations about it.
I love it. I'm with them.
You've got to, And I mean, honestly, April, I don't blame them. My goodness. We go for nature walks. We go to the beach. We go on hikes. We go mountain climbing. We go to the museums. We go wherever we can. We go and we visit friends. We travel. We do beach academy, chess, drama, Latin. I mean, if I had the choice, I know what I'd do,
I
right? And
know.
it's not getting on that bus.
I know.
We do have those discussions because. Central to this is my relationship with my children because I have a dual role, not just a parent. I'm also teaching and guiding them, which is interwoven in being a parent. But I have more responsibility given the educational aspect. But I want them to be able to make their own decisions and make good decisions. And if I don't give them the freedom and empower them to make those decisions, how are they going to do it?
Right.
I have to give them that opportunity. And I think, honestly, if my daughter turned around and said, I want to go to school, once I'd got myself up off the floor after the shock, because I can't see that happening, I'd say to her, well, let's start doing a bit of more online school, getting a bit more formal about our routine and see how you fit in and how you find it before throwing her into that school environment. Because I
Right,
think
right.
to go from what we do into that environment, cold fish or cold turkey, whatever the saying is, I think would be a huge mistake. I don't think that that would be
Yeah,
the right.
it could be quite shocking.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could be quite
Absolutely.
shocking. And it could be it's like when you stop breastfeeding your child, it's that separation anxiety that
Absolutely.
sets in and you say you got to wean yourself.
Yeah, and
And
it's
then
exactly
you'd
the
have to
same.
figure out what to do, But
And it's
you
not
are a
easy.
part, but you're a part of a co-op and a part of other mothers. So tell us a little bit about that and how people can get involved.
Facebook's fantastic. There are so many different groups for homeschooling, so there's lots of support. I have my own group as well, which everyone's welcome to join. It's a community. It's all about supporting each other with the homeschooling journey. We do educational product reviews, we get guest speakers in, and we talk very frankly about homeschooling issues, what's going on, and where parents need support. You can also find local groups that way too. If you just do a search for your own area, you'll find groups and they'll talk about what meets are coming up. And some of them often have calendars or links to calendars, so you can actually get in touch with the different providers and book your child in for different activities, from playing football to Latin to drama. You name it, you can pretty much do it. And of course, Google is fantastic for the associations and organizations that aren't on Facebook. You can always do a Google search that way. I also, over the years, have learnt, and my sort of mantra is if you don't ask, you don't get. So if I want to take the kids somewhere, for example, we visited the Houses of Parliament in London a couple of years ago.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, so I organized to book the tickets, and I could see that they had like a disability officer. So I thought, right, my son doesn't do queues. He doesn't do crowds. I don't need him getting overwhelmed because that just stresses him out, me out, my daughter out, and our beautiful, lovely day turns into, you know, stress fest, right? So I got in touch with the disability officer and I spoke to her and I explained the situation. I said we were homeschooling, that he needed a bit of extra support. The next thing I know, we have a private tour for the three of us with this lady through the wow. Houses of Commons, the Houses of the Lords, wow. The whole of the Houses of Parliament. I could drive in and park in the disabled bay. I didn't have to do public transport in London, which is huge, no tube. And it really is about making the most of the choice you've made for your family and not being scared to put your hand up and go, you know, approach museums. And I do it every time. Every time we travel and we go somewhere, I ring up in advance and I say, we're homeschooling. I also have a child who needs extra support. What can you do to help and to make this a really fantastic educational experience?
Wow.
Do you have extra support? Do you have an educational pack you can give me that you give to the schools who come and do that? Do you have a special homeschooling day when you invite the homeschooling community to come in during the week when it's quieter? You know, so it's also making the most of that and not being scared.
Well, and you know what? It sounds like they're getting the better end of the deal.
Oh,
because,
totally.
Because it's so private and it's so intimate and it's and they're special and they're treated special. Wow.
I mean, we did that. We went to Buckingham Palace. Oh my goodness. They let us again, I rang them and said, this is the deal. They let us drive in through the main gates, you know, where all the beefeaters stand.
Wow.
With their hats. And we drove through the gates and all the crowds were like, oh, wow, who's this? And, you know, I thought we were some celebrity. And we drove in and we parked and they came over with the golf buggy and picked us up and drove us all past. And all the crowds were looking, thinking, who's that?
Wow.
And then they whisked us in a particular, you know, entrance and, they really supported us to really, you know, make the most of an amazing experience.
And he'll never forget that.
No.
And he probably would never have had that opportunity with 25 other loud, rowdy classmates. And he, wow, that is really great. So see, it's all in the ass brains. That's what I tell you all the time. A closed mouth will not get fed.
No.
It's as simple as that. So you have to ask, you have to be a risk taker, and you have to identify and accept what it is. Because your child has I call them a title. I don't call them a label. They have a title.
I like that.
You know? So because they are, you know, have Asperger's or HDAD or, you know, cancer or one eye, whatever the situation is, they are still a functional, contributing human being to society that needs to be loved, honored, cherished, and taught. And they are some of the most, I mean, I look at some, go back and look at some of the people in history that have had some of the most severe challenges and look at how brilliant they are. And what they, I can't think of his name right now, was the guy, he was kind of dwarf and he had the tracheotomy. He died not too long ago.
Yes.
I can't think of his name right now, but let me tell
you. I know who you mean.
Baby, let me tell you, everybody wanted him on, you know, and everybody adored him because he was super smart. Yeah. So you never know where, quote unquote, the intelligence lies. Some people are trapped inside this bubble, but it's okay. It's a bubble that still rises. And thank you so much for rising here, Julie. On the Edge, you are amazing. Thank you. You are about to, you know, like I said, you're moving from one place to another. And then Brain, she told me she's moving into a minivan, probably one of those Mercedes-Benz minivans, and they're going to do world school.
So well, we're going to pack our bags and motorhome around Europe next year or the beginning of
the year. Well, let me tell you, when you come to San Diego, please look me up. I can take you to, the best I can do is Legoland, Disneyland, the zoo. Good. A naval ship. I can hook you up. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
So come on to the U.S. and thank you again for, you know, it's a sacrifice in a way. It's a blessing, you know, it's a double-edged sword, but thank you for having the courage because it took courage. And tell your husband, I think he's a rock star too.
I will.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Brains. Check out where your kid's head is at. Love them right where they're at, you know, and figure it out. Homeschool, regular school, but be involved and listen to them. They'll tell you everything you want to know. Maybe they'll tell you too much.
Too right.
Talk to you later, Julie.
Thanks, April.